God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things.
This is Pastor Larry. Welcome to our Watchman on the Wall broadcast of Southwest Radio Church. I hope you are having a wonderful day. In AD 64, a fire ravaged Rome. Before it was finally extinguished, two-thirds of the city was in ashes. So was Emperor Nero's reputation. Knowing that he was likely to be blamed, Nero looked for a scapegoat. He settled on a new and suspicious religious group, the Christians. The Roman historian Tacitus wrote that in order to deflect blame from himself, Nero threw the Christians to the lions, literally. When World War I ended badly for Germany, the Great Depression followed, and someone had to be blamed. Hitler was hardly alone in choosing Germany's favorite scapegoat, the Jews. Many Germans were led to believe that their post-war problems were the fault of Jewish bankers who sold Germany down the river for their personal gain. You know, I've been hearing some nasty things about Christians lately. They supposedly want to meet and spread the COVID-19 virus. They are the real problem with America today. That's what we're being told. Of course, that's not true. But I think scapegoating is still very, very much in vogue. We can see what's happening. Pray hard. Be a good witness. We are back with our guest from our previous program, Dr. Alan Walker. Dr. Walker travels around the country giving widescreen PowerPoint presentations on Bible prophecy, the tabernacle, the Holy Spirit, and other subjects that are of critical importance to the local church. We are offering our listeners the 53-minute PowerPoint that he originally presented at the Tulsa Prophecy Conference. It's loaded with information, scripture, and themes found in the Word of God. It spans material from creation to the new heavens and earth. This will really help you to understand the big picture. At the end of the show, our announcer, Matthew, will tell you how to get your own copy of this 53-minute PowerPoint. Alan, thank you so much for being with us once again.
Thank you, Larry. It's great to be with you.
Well, we were talking in our previous program about the fulfillment of prophecy and the coming of Jesus, and let's develop this a little bit. What was God's ultimate solution to the sin problem?
Well, Larry, the book of Hebrews draws a sharp distinction between the Old Testament sacrificial offerings, which were a type or a picture, and then the reality of that, which was the death, burial, and resurrection of the Son of God. The Apostle Paul told us without controversy, "Moreover, brethren, I delivered unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." The death, burial, and resurrection of the Son of God is the gospel of salvation, and that is the ultimate fulfillment of what those Old Testament offerings are. The Lord Jesus put away sin by the sacrifice of himself on the cross. He was buried in a borrowed tomb, raised from the dead bodily on the third day, and then he ascended to heaven, sat down at the right hand of the Father, and he is glorified in heaven, and he's our high priest who ever lives to make intercession for us. And you and I live under a much better covenant than what they had in the Old Testament.
Well, you just said the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. How about Pentecost? How does that fit into the picture, and how is it a major event in the plan of God?
Well, Larry, as all of us know, the disciples, when Jesus went to trial and then was getting ready to go to the cross, the disciples scattered, and they did not have the courage to stand for the Lord at that time. After the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, he appeared unto the disciples and told them to wait for the promise of the Father in Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost, and those timid, fearful disciples became bold messengers of the gospel, and they preached the gospel throughout the then known world and changed the course of history by spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ and the establishment of the New Testament church. And it was through the power and demonstration of the Spirit. They were unlearned, ignorant men, yet by the power of the Spirit of God, they proclaimed the Word of God with such boldness that 3,000 were converted on the day of Pentecost. And the Holy Spirit is what helps us to be effective in ministry. And you and I are dependent on the Holy Spirit to be able to effectively communicate the truth of the Word of God to a lost and dying world.
Well, certainly after the coming of the Spirit, they were timid and fearful no more. And I think of Peter, his courage, his bravery, and also the wisdom and knowledge that he had, all coming through the blessed Holy Spirit. And one of the things that I rejoice in is that in and of myself, I am nothing. But as we yield to the Lord, as we allow him to fill us, and he does, if we're empty of self and empty of sin, confessed and so on and so forth, the Holy Spirit comes in. So what a beautiful picture. I think Pentecost was so important, and how it brought people together. You know, there's so much division today and anger. We see it on the highway, road rage and all of that, but when the blessed Holy Spirit has control, great things happen. Alan, what is God's plan for the dispensation of grace at the present time?
Well, that's a very important question. The letters of the Apostle Paul have a special relationship to the time period that you and I live in. The real meat of the Word of God is found in the Pauline epistles. And as we said earlier, the early church spread the gospel throughout the then known world. Jesus gave the Great Commission. He said to Matthew 28:19-20, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." And then Mark chapter 16 tells the disciples to go into the world and preach the gospel, and that God will be with them in a special way to empower them to do that. But God's plan for the dispensation of grace is to visit the Gentile nations, to call out a people for his name. Any Jew, any Gentile can hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, and it's God's plan for the church to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. Actually, there are 67 countries throughout what many refer to as the 1040 window. Most of our listeners are familiar with that. It reaches from the Middle East to the Far East. And most of the unreached peoples of the world, there are some 5,920 unreached people groups throughout the 1040 window. Now, we need to be reminded that the teaching of Bible prophecy inspires missions and holy living. When Bible prophecy is taught, it intends to make people into soul winners, and it tends to cause people to live holy lives, knowing that the Lord is coming soon. The World Christian Encyclopedia says there are 2.7 million conversions to Christ annually. Christianity is reportedly the fastest growing religion in Iran, with an average annual rate of 5.2%. There are some 2 to 7 million Muslims saved in the last 20 years, 100,000 Jews saved in the last 20 years. The church in China has grown from a million believers in 1970 to about 120 million today. In 2011, there were an estimated 584 million Spirit-filled Christians in the world. And by 2050, the Christian population is expected to exceed 3 billion. Whether or not that happens, we can see that God is sovereignly moving in the earth today. God is a God of love, grace, and mercy. Dr. Tim LaHaye once mentioned the merciful God of prophecy, and that prophecy is given to show the world that we are approaching the end of the age and the end of all things, and that is to give us an impetus to spread the gospel with a fervor and with a passion that we otherwise wouldn't have. And so God's main purpose for the dispensation of grace is the spreading of the gospel, and of course the building up the church and bringing the church to maturity. If immature Christians became mature Christians, much more would be accomplished in the earth. And oftentimes we neglect that part of the Word of God in seeing that the body of Christ is built up. But overall, God's plan and purpose is to build up the church and to reach an unsaved world with the message of the gospel, and God will continue to do that to the end of the age.
You mentioned Dr. LaHaye. He was just a marvelous man. I remember at many of our pre-trib meetings in Dallas, we, of course, have some really heady, kind of cerebral, you might say, presentations, but Dr. LaHaye was always just a gracious person, always speaking about the love of God in and through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I think he was one of the greatest promoters of the idea that Bible prophecy is not just something to think about, to cogitate on, but it's something to get you moving, to get you out there and sharing the love of God with other people. It was a wonderful, wonderful demonstration of something that I think is very, very important, and you bring it out very well. Well, Alan, how will we know when the end times have started? Are we in the end times? Are we getting close? What's happening in the world? How does that fit with the prophetic plan of God?
Well, Larry, the DVD does touch on that. The end times, we believe, started with the restoration of Israel in 1948. That was the super sign of Bible prophecy, according to most prophecy teachers. But in 1948, Israel was restored as a nation. And then there are four spheres of geopolitical power surrounding Israel, which let us know that we're living in the last days. The nation of Israel is restored with Jerusalem as capital, and then she's surrounded by hostile Islamic countries who are intent in wiping Israel off the map. Russia is the great power to the north, allied with the Islamic countries, and we believe that she will invade Israel according to Ezekiel 38 and 39, and the stage is being set for that. China is rising as a military and economic superpower in the time in which we live and is believed to be the kings of the East of Bible prophecy, providing a 200 million man army to enter into the Middle East. And then the European Union is coming about, and we believe this to be part of the revived Roman Empire that is mentioned in Daniel and other places in the Scripture. But these four groups of nations all came about in the same generation as the restoration of Israel, and Dr. J. Dwight Pentecost had mentioned this in one of his books, on these four spheres of power would exist in the end times, and that the stage is being set. We're not in the tribulation period now. The rapture takes place before that happens, but as we approach the days of the tribulation period, we can see that God is setting the stage for the tribulation period, so we can say that the end times have started. We are definitely living in the last days, and the signs of the times, as we call them, are indicators that we're living in the last days and that Jesus is coming soon.
You know, when you speak about the signs of the times, I'm thinking about the word iniquity in the King James Bible. It's a translation of anomia, lawlessness, man. Do we see lawlessness today? I mean, you know, a homosexual, pro-homosexual running for president of the United States, the police being attacked, people just breaking the law and making, well, California a sanctuary state, and New York City is a sanctuary city, and my, there's lawlessness everywhere, and we see a breakdown in society. It's really tragic, and I'm certainly glad that we have a president like President Trump holding things together. I can't imagine anybody else. I mean, like, he's got about 10 lions by the tail. They're all snarling, but we certainly will pray for him and think of God's plan of the ages. Well, Alan, what's going to happen in the end times? What's going to be like?
Well, Larry, the Scripture indicates in Revelation 6 through 19, there are the seven seals, the seven trumpets, and the seven bowls, or King James refers to them as vials, of the wrath of God, are poured out during that time period. The Bible teaches that half of the earth's population will be killed during that seven-year period, that one-third of the earth can be burned by fire, 100-pound hailstones will fall, melt human flesh from the body instantly. We live in the information age with knowledge and travel increasing. and the various nations that we see falling into place are preparing to happen. But the Bible teaches that one day, without warning, the rapture of the church will take place. And the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is imminent, meaning that it could happen at any time. There's no time to prepare before the rapture. If you're not saved, you need to know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior prior to the rapture, or else you'll be left behind. But that's the first thing that is going to happen in the end times. Then the Antichrist will come forward, who will be a man, a leader out of Europe, who will settle a 7-year peace treaty with Israel, and it will look like all the world's problems have been solved. There are many problems in the world today, and the world is looking for a solution to these problems, but a man is going to come on the scene during the tribulation period, make a 7-year treaty with Israel, and when he signs that covenant for 7 years, that marks the beginning of the tribulation period. Then the religions of the world will merge together, and the false prophet will lead that false church, and he will be an assistant to the Antichrist. But overall, we see, we've already mentioned China, Europe, Russia, and Islam taking their place surrounding Israel. And it's going to look like Israel is going to be wiped out. But God will not allow his covenant people to be destroyed. And there's a remnant of them will be saved out of the tribulation period and then be ready to go into the millennial kingdom with our Lord.
Well, what a great series, and I'm glad you covered it so well. We do have the blessed hope, which is the rapture, and it's not the blasted hope. I'm really happy for the blessed hope. Well, Alan, thank you for these two shows. We are out of time, but it's always a blessing to do a show with you, and I know our listeners find your material very, very accessible. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Larry. Great to be with you.
Matthew, please come to the mic and tell our listeners how to get our special offer.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. Our special offer today is the fantastic DVD titled God's Plan for the Ages. It shows the timeline from creation through the seven dispensations and the new heavens and new earth. Students of Scripture need to see this, and you can for a gift of $10 in the United States and $20 if you live in Canada. To place your order, just call our toll-free number, 1-800-652-1144. You can also order by writing to us at Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And you can order anytime online on our website at swrc.com. We will also include, at no additional charge, a tribulation map. This is perfect for the ones who miss the rapture, and also included is a map of God's plan of the ages. All three items for a gift of $10. Call now 1-800-652-1144. Here again is Pastor Larry.
The city of Dunedin, Florida is fining, penalizing, and harassing citizens. The city has authorized the foreclosure of a man's home because his lawn grew too tall while he's out of town settling his mother's estate last summer.
It's a sad story, Pastor Larry. Jim Ficken, 69, was fined more than $29,000, $500 per day of violation, after Dunedin City grass inspectors discovered his yard turf was longer than the allowable 10 inches for an 8-week period. Ficken had arranged for a friend to mow his lawn in his absence, but the friend unexpectedly died after Ficken left. So the fines continued to rack up without so much as a phone call from the city inspectors.
Well, Marvin, when Ficken returned and found out about the fees, he explained the situation, but the city stood firm, insisting he owed the $30,000 for being out of compliance. Ficken had been flagged, and inspectors informed him as a repeat offender because his lawn had also grown too tall in 2015. They were keeping records on him. So the city of Dunedin has authorized the foreclosure of Ficken's home in order to collect the fine in full.
Mr. Ficken is suing to try to save his property. the Institute for Justice has taken up his case and is fighting the city for trying to take his home for the minor code violation. IJ attorney Ari Bargel said of the case, "Losing your home because you inadvertently let your grass get too long is the very definition of an excessive fine. No one should face crippling fines, let alone foreclosure for trivial code violations." Bargel explained and said, "Jim asked the city if they would reconsider and give him a fair fine or a new hearing, but they rejected him. Now they are trying to take his home."
Actually, Marvin, the city of Dunedin is making a lot of money on code violations. In 2007, the total fines imposed by the city for minor infractions was $34,000. In 2017, they took in $700,000. Last year, the city collected nearly $1.3 million in fines and authorized the foreclosure of 18 homes.
Sounds like a racket to me, Pastor Larry.
I think they're gangsters in City Hall.
USA Today also did a special report on the city of Dunedin, Florida. It gave a report on a young lady by the name of Christy Allen. She owed $92,600 for fines for overgrown vegetation and a stagnant swimming pool at a house she no longer owned. She was informed that she must pay in 2 weeks, the letter said, and hinted that she could be sued if she didn't, including interest charges and other fees. Her debt swelled to $103,559,000, about twice her yearly income.
Well, you know, Marvin, there are a couple of important lessons in these tragic stories. First of all, power tends to concentrate, then becomes abusive, and then it becomes unbearable. It always happens that way. Dunedin, Florida is a case in point. We all need to be accountable. Even the federal government needs to be accountable. People are sinful, selfish, and have a little bit of what I jokingly call the Antichrist gene. That's the sinful desire to manipulate and control other people. The world has languished under despots, tyrants, and dictators. Now, there's a second reason, and it is this. There is a day of judgment coming. Those who have brutalized people with cruel and oppressive laws will themselves suffer horribly. This is no joke. Every single sin, every single idle word, every evil thought will come back upon you. You like to make people squirm, suffer, moan, and load them down with burdens that they cannot bear for your own selfish ends? You will be judged in the same way that you have judged. The Bible warns all. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. The Bible reveals that there's only one way to escape judgment and damnation to follow. Confess your sins, repent, and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other way of escape. I think of all the horrible crimes and sins that are committed against little children. Jesus said in Matthew 18, verse 6, "But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea." Close quote. Now, the word millstone in the original language is literally a donkey stone, a large grindstone for grinding wheat that was turned by a donkey. Some of them weighed 100 pounds. Do you want to go swimming in the ocean with a 100-pound rock dangling from your neck? God is not willing that anyone should perish. God loves you and wants you to be his child. But there is only one way to escape wrath, and that is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We're glad to have Jerry Tyson sharing the following comments. Jerry is a faithful board member. He's going to share with us some figures that help us put the coronavirus pandemic in perspective.
Thanks again for letting me put in my 2 cents worth. We're seeing an unprecedented, unreported pushback against Christians in recent weeks since the Chinese coronavirus has become the only story in the news. Several governors and mayors have taken their gloves off and are openly hostile to churches who are only asking for the rights enumerated in the U.S. Constitution that allow for freedom of assembly and freedom of worship with, I add, common sense. The pandemic pandemonium has given them what seems to be an open door to do what they couldn't do before. No one would doubt the potential problems with people infected attending a large church that is full. But when people come and stay in their cars, parked 6 feet apart, and listen on the radio, one has to seriously consider the motive. This is a strong indication that the COVID crisis is providing the excuse to move in directions they could not in the past. If the shutdown continues for an extended period, they'll become bolder and bolder, and faithful pastors will need to make what could be life and ministry-changing decisions as they choose to bow to illegitimate government demands or stand up for Jesus in these current days. In the book of Daniel, you remember the familiar story of the three Hebrew young men who were willing to lose their lives rather than give in to the edict of a pagan ruler. In many of our states and municipalities, we still have pagan would-be kings who require that we bow down to the world rather than faithfully serve the Lord. We believe the Lord's return will be soon, but how many of us have ever thought we would see things degenerate to this level? The blessed hope looks better every day. And that's a view from out east.
Well, Jerry, I certainly agree. The blessed hope does look better every day. Friend, the Lord Jesus did say, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Friend, would you like to gain the whole world? Just think of what you would gain. A lot of angry people fighting wars with one another, poverty, disease, and universal confusion. I would rather look to the blessed hope. The Bible says, looking for that blessed hope in the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now that's really something to look forward to.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. Our special offer today is the fantastic DVD titled God's Plan for the Ages. It shows the timeline from creation through the seven dispensations and the new heavens and new earth. Students of Scripture need to see this, and you can for a gift of $10 in the United States and $20 if you live in Canada. To place your order, just call our toll-free number 1-800-652-1144. You can also order by writing to us at Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And you can order anytime online on our website at swrc.com. We will also include, at no additional charge, a tribulation map. This is perfect for the ones who miss the rapture. And also included is a map of God's plan of the ages. All three items for a gift of $10. Call now 1-800-652-1144.
If you haven't already, you should have a look at our Southwest Radio Church Facebook page. If you like it, let us know by hitting the like button. We also have a YouTube channel. We have over 70 videos that are free to watch and enjoy on YouTube.
Thanks for tuning in today. Tune in tomorrow when Pastor Larry talks with Mac Dominic on the Watchman on the Wall program from Southwest Radio Ministries.